B-Pod Studios.
Welcome to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with James Stewart.
I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day.
And Mike Sarge Riley.
I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're trespassing on private property. When you walk through here, through these ropes, you're in my yard. Bad things happen in my yard.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
WWE Fastlane is now in the books, and we'll give you our opinions on everything pertaining to the important stuff on this pay-per-view event. Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985thesportshub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Mike, in general terms, I went into Fastlane with very low expectations, but tonight I thought it was a solid pro wrestling show. I know WWE doesn't want me to use the term pro wrestling, but it was a pro wrestling show.
Yeah, what the hell is that about?
I really liked it up until the finish of the Charlotte-Becky match, and I kind of want to start there.
Yeah.
That finish really confused me.
Okay.
So Ronda's a villain, made sure that Becky won, giving the fans what they want and what Ronda wants.
Yep.
That is the clearest shade of gray that I've seen in a long time. I don't know what that is other than Ronda's selfish. Ronda doesn't want the fans to like her. I'm not sure what really to make of that. The crowd reaction in Cleveland told a story that I felt similar to. I hated that finish. They hated that finish. Mm-hmm. That crowd and me, by the way, I wanted to see Becky find a way to win that match against Charlotte and make it official by Becky winning a match. It's clear to me that Vince didn't want to beat Charlotte again. And when I say again, Charlotte lost the Royal Rumble. She lost TLC. Survivor Series was a DQ. Evolution was a loss to Becky. Hell in a Cell was a loss to Becky. Tonight was a DQ, but it was a finish that we all kind of want to forget, and it was just kind of disappointing.
Yeah, no real flavor to it. And, you know, that was a question going in. How will this be finished, this match? Will Becky get back into the WrestleMania event after Fastlane here? And, you know, the interference, like you said, with Ronda Rousey, it's just like, you know, talking to you here over the last couple weeks about this, I was starting to make myself kind of believe that Charlotte would win at WrestleMania, just because, like, the dark horse scenario and, you know, the trend where they were the last few years. We talked about this last week, of course, with having the fans not go home super disappointed, but a little bit not what they were expecting, if you will. So that now, after seeing that tonight, where Ronda comes in, no clear finish, you got to ride the hot hand. That's why I just think Becky's going to take this at WrestleMania. And, you know, knowing me, I'll probably flip-flop in my decision on this over the next week or so. But it's just more and more evident that she's the clear-cut favorite here and the clear-cut winner going into WrestleMania. I don't like the finish, personally. I don't. It should have been a submission. Let her earn it. It should have been even Charlotte winning. And then, you know, build up that storyline again for the next couple weeks. Go ahead and then get her back in there. You have three more Raws to go until WrestleMania. So you had a lot to play with, but apparently they're ready to throw the gasoline on the fire right here. And here we are. Your main event is set as of now, but that could change. We know that.
If you look at the actual details of how Becky Lynch got here, they're not very flattering.
No.
Royal Rumble taps out to Asuka in the opening match, which was mentioned on the pre-show, and all I can hear is Vince screaming in their ears, being like, "Don't mention that, pal." And then she enters her, she bullies her way into the Royal Rumble match, and then wins that. But was she fighting for Lana, or did she just get the benefit of Fit Finlay?
Right.
And then she's suspended, and then she's not suspended. She's suspended by Vince, and then she's unsuspended by Stephanie, who Stephanie and Triple H had originally suspended Becky to then unsuspend her.
And
unsuspend Vince's suspension, and Vince hasn't weighed in on the unsuspension of the suspension.
Right. It's, yeah.
And now she wins a match because Ronda hit her on the chest and when she was probably not going to tap out. But I just think that they've muddied this water that they don't need to muddy.
You're right. They muddy the water. They don't need to muddy. You know, even the ending tonight, Jimmy, it kind of reminded me of what you would see at a house show, right? If someone comes in there for a DQ, then that's it. They're going to call for the match right there. Pay-per-view, you know, have the music hit for Stephanie or Triple H. That match needs to be finished right now to determine who's going to be there. And if Charlotte won tonight, I think that would have been even better to have Becky, like you said, legitimately earn her stripes to get back into the main event at WrestleMania. But instead, a rinky-dink finish, and it was the easy way out to promote this, and I think that's the route they're going here. So now we do know it will be a triple threat, but again, it can change.
WWE still has 28 days left, so maybe this plays into they're going to have Becky and Charlotte do another match on Raw, and there'll be more of a clear-cut finish.
Yep.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I just know that the finish tonight was disappointing, and Charlotte and Becky were telling a very good and simple story. It's Becky's still hurt. She's selling. She's got all these odds to overcome. But at the end of the day, Becky needed to actually overcome those odds and not be the person who benefits from somebody else's way that they want to go about business.
And you know what, Jimmy, you know, looking at the parallels between her and Stone Cold Steve Austin from 21 years ago, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin legitimately had to work his way into this and earn it. And, you know, he didn't earn it through a disqualification. You know, he won the Royal Rumble and he paid his dues, the whole story there, all that stuff. And
well, in 99, he lost the Royal Rumble to Vince.
Correct.
And then they did St. Valentine's Day Massacre, where Paul White threw him into the cage, which collapsed the cage, and Austin fell through.
Right.
But you got two McMahon-Austin matches.
Yeah.
And
but
you got Steve Austin beating up Vince with the crowd into it and getting a victory. Like.
Right.
Because it's a cage and it's an escape match.
If I'm Stone Cold Steve Austin in that scenario, I feel good. I won. I worked hard. If I'm Becky Lynch in that scenario, I don't feel good about that win. You won by a DQ because your enemy Ronda Rousey comes in and it's like, okay, well, I didn't earn my stripes and here I am. Boom. So they just rolled out the red carpet for me. And good for her. I mean, that's a proud accomplishment to get there that way. But you're right. The way they've muddied these waters and to go through it here could have been better storytelling.
Do you think that they are cooling this feud off because Vince is getting cold feet about this match going on last at WrestleMania?
You know, it's funny you said that. I was thinking along those lines too, just a bit, because he's a creature of habit. We know that. And this is a certain first scenario. I don't think that they're getting cold feet, but, you know, or excuse me, I don't think they're cooling it off because of the cold feet factor. I just think that they're cooling it off to tell a story for the next 3 weeks here. So I think that they still will go ahead with the main event, but I think they're kind of going from fast lane, no pun intended, with the pay-per-view tonight over to the right lane where the grandmothers drive, slowing it down a little bit. What do you think?
It makes me think that they're going to do this match not at the end and Charlotte's going to win.
So you're more inclined to Charlotte. So again, that's why I'm flipping back and forth.
Because Charlotte has been kind of a side piece.
That's what I said. She's a dark horse.
And her recent losing streak leads me to believe that she's going to get the big match win.
I mean, you know, Mike Riley.
Because that's kind of how that they do booking now.
Jimmy, Mike Riley tonight, watching the pay-per-view, what did I just say? Yes, Becky Lynch is going to win. But now hearing this and thinking more about it over the next few weeks and how I have been thinking about it the last couple of weeks, that's why I think Charlotte could very easily win this match too. So I'm with you.
And
I wouldn't be surprised.
And I still go back to...
And I hope it is the main event though.
And I still go back to the idea that Charlotte is going to end up at the end of her career as the greatest female performer that there ever was. And I'm not saying that as a Charlotte honk. I'm saying that as this is Vince McMahon's Hulk Hogan, and you can only beat Ronda Rousey one time for the first time. And who would they rather have that accomplishment on their resume? Becky Lynch, who's been hot for 6 to 8 months, or Charlotte Flair, who has been the dominant female since she got called up to the main roster before WrestleMania in Dallas?
Did you see Charlotte's promos the last couple of weeks?
Oh, they've been great.
So, and she has said it that, you know, here you are. Here's Becky. She's been hot the last 6 to 8 weeks, but I'm the greatest. So, perfect scenario right there. Same exact thing. And that's why I, again, would not be surprised. I mean, I hope everyone that's rooting for Becky Lynch here, don't get your hopes up. Don't get your hopes up, because that is where I could see that happening. And again, to your point, maybe not having it as the main event, I still could see it as the main event where Charlotte is to beat Ronda and Becky at the very end.
So it leads me to the next story that WWE is trying to tell for a babyface trying to come up from underneath. And this is the Kofi Kingston story. And at this point, if Kofi doesn't beat Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania, I think that would be a disappointment. As somebody who is planning to sit in MetLife Stadium, I want to cheer for Kofi Kingston winning the WWE Championship. Kofi gets sent to the ring during Fastlane, gets beat up by the bar. Vince promised a triple threat match for the WWE title. He delivered it, and it was Mustafa Ali as the third member and not Kofi. And Cleveland let the WWE hear about it, which means that Vince is winning and building this momentum for Kofi Kingston. But the problem is you may have sacrificed Mustafa Ali, who should be like a fabulous come from underneath babyface. Yep. And you essentially had three villains in the ring, because I love Brian. I love Kevin Owens.
Kevin Owens is not a babyface,
but they're not good guys. No. And Mustafa Ali, who I like, I see him as just a 205 live guy.
Right.
And he's just not at that level, in my opinion, where he should be in there with Brian and Kevin Owens on a pay-per-view.
Right, right.
Now, all that being said, that was my favorite match of the night. And it was because of Ali's talents, and adding that extra dimension to that match. But I think Mustafa Ali was in there because Vince is, again, protecting somebody. And in this case, he's protecting Kevin Owens from a loss.
Yeah. And to your point there with Kevin Owens protecting him from the loss, and just, you know, having Mustafa Ali, great opportunity for him there to be in a championship match at this stage of his career. That's pretty high honor. But, you know, the whole point of it is just to bridge it to get to Kofi and Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania. And, you know, Jimmy, if you can throw in a stipulation, make it a ladder match, that'd be awesome. Anything along those lines, I think that'd be great. 2 out of 3 falls, you know, have fun with it. Those guys can go. You know they can. Two very talented performers. And Kevin Owens, again, he is, in my opinion, not a face. He is a heel. But I think I could see him. I don't see him in the world heavyweight title picture of WrestleMania. I see him more in a tag team picture. And I'll talk about that in a moment. But I think that here for WrestleMania, you will see Kofi Kingston and Daniel Bryan. And that, you know what? Good for Kofi Kingston. He should be the champion walking out of WrestleMania. I hope he is. He deserves it.
Yeah, I'd like to see him have his WrestleMania moment, and then I'd like to see him get Zack Ryder'd. And that is, he loses it on SmackDown to a villain Kevin Owens or a villain Miz or somebody along those lines.
Yeah.
But
I mean, that would be his career moment, too. Career-defining moment.
I'm going to try to tie this into the one of the other big stories is Shane McMahon turned on the Miz after they lost an excellent match in the opener to the Usos. We all saw this split coming a mile away. And I still think that Shane and the Miz being part of a WWE Championship ladder match is a better way to go. And as I was putting it together, by my count, we have 16 matches for WrestleMania this year. You have two battle royals. The WWE has 10 championships. 10 of them. Universal, WWE, Intercontinental, US, two sets of tag titles, two women's singles titles, a women's tag team title, and a cruiserweight title. If my math is correct, that's 10. So then you put Triple H and Batista in a match. You put Miz and Shane in a match. They need something for Roman Reigns.
You're going to need a battle royal.
You have two battle royals, one for the men and one for the women. And then it looks like based on tonight, we're going to get an AJ Styles versus Randy Orton match. And before you get to your thought on AJ versus Randy Orton, I said last week, put AJ, Orton, Shane, Miz, Owens, Bryan, and Kofi. Seven people in there, ladder match. Kofi wins the WWE title in a ladder match. Do it. And then you have somebody beat Kofi on SmackDown just because Vince doesn't think Kofi deserves the title. You can make it up.
Why don't you put them all those guys in lieu of the WWE Championship, why don't you put them all there for the United States Championship? Do that. Those are some big star power names. Plus you get Samoa Joe.
Well, I think Joe's going to be penciled in for Cena.
Okay. All right. But, I mean, okay. You could do that, but I'm just saying.
You've had the names that I mentioned all at different points in time, except Shane, but he's a McMahon. And the story there by putting him in there in the ladder match for the WWE title is Vince and Shane are evil now, and Triple H and Stephanie are good. So Vince is like, GD pal, got to get you a WWE championship. So you're in the match.
Yeah. See, I don't know. I mean, I like your point there to have all those guys for the championship, but I don't see it happening. It's going to be The Miz versus Shane. You're going to have 16 matches, like you're saying. It's crazy. That's how it is. And, you know, the other reason, too, with the Usos retaining here, the Usos have been in talks with AEW, also Samoa Joe, too. And I think that's why, or I'm led to believe that, that's why these guys have championship belts around their waist to keep them retained in the company. So that's why I think the Usos are going to be your champs for a little bit. And I would not be surprised if they go up against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, who looks like he's good to go. He's ready to be back maybe as early as this week. You see them reunite and those two go up against the Usos at WrestleMania. There's your SmackDown tag team title match right there.
Interesting. I had the Usos pegged for the Hardys.
Could go with that. You could have a triple threat. Could. I mean, you have so much talent, might as well, right?
No. Let's go for 20 matches. Let's see if we can get 20 matches in.
Oh, please, no.
What? They'll start the show at
five,
and they'll go to midnight. And
I'm going to tell you, Jimmy, right now, I'm praying to God that we have good weather. Because it's outdoors. Oh, no. Can't do that for 6 hours outside.
Vince is going to shoot one of those weather things up into the sky.
I hope so.
Make sure it's clear. He can't control the temperature, but...
No, he's got the money to do it, so...
Yes, he does.
Yeah, we've helped contribute to his paycheck.
But, I mean, why not go for 20? I mean, last year New Orleans had 14, Orlando had 13, Dallas had 12, yeah. San Francisco 9, WrestleMania 30 in New Orleans had 8 matches. Why not go for 20 matches? Why not?
I mean, 35 is a sexy number for WrestleMania. In short, it's on the number one market in the world. You might as well do it. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Just run the score right up.
Yep, there you go.
I think the Shield going on last on Fastlane was the right move. It seems like it's the last go-around with the Shield on TV, or at least they're promoting it as such. Yep. Rollins is hurting. It's Roman's first match back. Ambrose, we think, is gone, but it might be a work. It might not be a work. It might be real. We're not sure. I mean, even though they went, this was classic Shield. This reminded me, and it wasn't as good, of the Shield sweeping evolution all those years ago. The Shield powerbomb at the end, it's a happy ending. And yes. WWE, historically being a babyface territory, or at least it once was, it's a good ending to the six-year run of the Shield.
Yeah.
If it is the end, which it probably should be at this point, because you can only do so many reunions. I liked it. And with the fact that the Charlotte-Becky match had such a flat finish, it was the right decision to end the Fastlane show with the Shield triple powerbomb and the win and the hug and the salute.
Yeah, and you know what? Maybe it was just me that, again, I think I was spoiled by the Elimination Chamber ending earlier than, you know, the Royal Rumble, which went way too long, and then Elimination Chamber ended in the 10 o'clock hour. I think they could have cut the fat a little bit with some of the Elias songs tonight, and that's why I didn't really enjoy the Shield match as much as I thought I would have. Again, just it was dragged out, a lot of that stuff. But good for them, and this has got to be it. I mean, I would really – I think the icing on the cake would be if the Shield, if you don't have Roman Reigns in a match, and if you don't have Dean Ambrose in a match – you've said it before, Jimmy, have them all help out Seth Rollins and powerbomb Brock Lesnar. That would be the ultimate icing on the cake. So this is probably it, but if that were to happen at WrestleMania, I think everybody would be extremely happy.
And that would be the end of WrestleMania. You would finish WrestleMania,
yes.
Shield triple powerbomb beating Brock Lesnar, and Seth Rollins will have beaten Brock Lesnar in two WrestleManias.
Yeah, that's history. Boom. And I don't know. It's just, again, you know, we got asked this a lot on Twitter about Dean Ambrose. Is this actually a work, or is this, you know, is he out, or is it a work? We're trying to figure this out. And again, I'm having a hard time figuring out. But after seeing this tonight at Fastlane and, you know, talking about the final time, the Shield going at it here, I really think that he's taking a little sabbatical coming this spring. That's it.
I think Ambrose just told him, I need time off. I want time off. I've been a workhorse. I'm coming back from injury. You put me in a story I didn't like, and I just need to be away for a little bit.
Yep.
And I think if he decides to come back, Dean strikes me as somebody who is sneaky smart with his money.
Yeah.
And he lives in Vegas, so he probably owns his home. He doesn't have to pay taxes. And
pay taxes? How do you not pay taxes?
Isn't Nevada one of those tax-free states? Property tax-free states?
I mean, I'm sure they get a hell of a deal with all the casinos, but I'm not sure. That's a good guess. Good question.
Because I thought it was Vegas, Florida, New Hampshire, and there are probably some others.
No, New Hampshire, you pay taxes on it. You just don't pay a sales tax. That's what it is.
Okay, so there's something with taxes in Vegas, because a hockey player, Mark Stone, went out to Vegas and signed an extension there because of the tax situation there.
Yeah, well, I know the cost of living is a lot less than the Northeast, too.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Yeah, yeah. So.
So if Dean's smart with his money, he owns his home, he can go and, you know, just relax and play video games on his couch if he wants.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like you said.
He wants to come back, he might have told them, hey, look, I'm not re-signing. Thank you for your offer. I'm not going anywhere else. I don't want to wrestle right now. Or I'm sorry, I don't want to be a sports entertainer right now.
And you and I were talking before the show, Jimmy. He's been a very good employee to the company.
He's been a fabulous employee. Does everything that they want. Makes money. Sells merchandise. Is good to the kids.
Yep.
Good in the ring.
Yep.
And if he's got a gripe with a storyline, he'll... My understanding is he'll express his gripe,
mm-hmm.
but he'll go through with it to the best of his ability.
And he's carried that torch for a little bit, too, when he had to. You know, he was the champion a couple of years ago. You know, he can be a main event guy. He can be a mid-card guy. He's versatile and a good competitor in the ring. So, valuable guy, and he's earned the time off if he wants it. Good for him.
A few other things from my Fastlane notes. Congratulations to Sasha Banks for her first successful championship defense in her WWE career. Because she had had the women's title 4 times and lost it on her first defense all 4 times.
Okay.
So it's about time that she got a successful defense in there.
Good for her.
I love the U.S. title match. Again, Samoa Joe retained the championship. I thought the Four Corners match was really good.
Love what R-Truth did with the John Cena stuff. That was great. There you go, Jimmy. That's a tease right there for John Cena's return.
Yep. And maybe it ends up that they do another multi-person match for the U.S. title, and it's John Cena. I think what they should do is Samoa Joe does the open challenge. He does it on SmackDown and say it's R-Truth. And then the next week, say it's Rey Mysterio. The week after, it's Andrade's. And they announce Samoa Joe is going to WrestleMania as the U.S. champion to issue an open challenge. And he hits the ring. He cuts this promo.
Yep.
And out comes John Cena. And it's a surprise pop. And, you know, I don't need John Cena winning the U.S. title.
That'd be cool, though.
But... it would be a cool, like, out of the blue, these guys have a really good match. They've known each other for a long time.
Yeah.
That would be a cool WrestleMania moment for me. And it would play off of, well, it wouldn't play off of anything. It would just be similar to, we knew The Undertaker was going to be at WrestleMania last year, but he wasn't advertised. And
right. Well,
it would be a fun little moment.
Selfishly enough for me, too, it would be really cool to see John Cena win the U.S. title because that's the only title belt that I bring around in public anymore because all the other ones are signed, and those do not leave the Riley compound.
Fair enough.
Yes.
So do you have anything else from your Fastlane notes?
I thought it was a solid pay-per-view, and here you are with just now less than 30 days to go before WrestleMania. You don't want everyone to be healthy. For that matter, and I think they lived up to the expectations. I didn't have too many high expectations like yourself, Jimmy. So I think that's the best case scenario here when you do go into it like that. So overall, no serious complaints except I wasn't a fan of the as we touched on the Charlotte Becky ending. But overall, solid pay per view, and it definitely lays down more of the groundwork for WrestleMania.
Solid pay per view. Disappointed in the Charlotte Becky finish, confused about where that story is going. We think we know the match is set. We've known the match is set, but how they're getting there, I've had some concerns about. But I do want to close with this, and this is a personal bias of mine. Ring of Honor Wrestling on Friday night presents its 17th anniversary show, and it's live from Vegas, and the fact that Ring of Honor has been around for 17 years is an incredible thing. It's tremendous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was going to those shows when they were doing Cambridge Armories and Dorchester Armories and Framingham State College. And Ring of Honor is a favorite promotion of mine.
Yep.
Matt Taven is the real Ring of Honor world champion.
Yes, he is.
He's taking on Jay Lethal, who is a Melvin and has a fake belt. But really, Matt Taven is challenging for the Ring of Honor World Championship. And this is somebody who I've gotten to know over the past few years, and I'm really grateful that he gets to be in a World Championship match for a promotion that he's worked a long time for. And it's on a signature show of theirs. And my hope is that he's walking into Madison Square Garden in a month in another world title match. He's worked hard for this. His work shows, and he's worth being in that main event picture. So Friday night, if you're an Honor Club member, ringofhonorwrestling.com is where you can see that pay-per-view event. If not, traditional pay-per-view, Fight TV app, all that stuff.
And, you know, on a personal note too, Jimmy, like yourself, you actually introduced me to Matt Taven a couple of years ago at a independent show up in Lowell, Mass, where Smojo was. It was at the Lasher Park, home of the Lowell Spinner. Shout out to them. But Matt Taven, got to meet him there for the first time. That was when it was with the Kingdom of Matt, Mike Bennett and Maria Kanellis too. And it was just, he could not have been a nicer guy. And since then, coming up on 4 years, I've got to not know him as well as you, but interact with them. We follow each other on Twitter, and you know, we know each other from that standpoint and help put each other over. I know Matt just retweeted a tweet of mine that I helped them out with tonight. I stole your line, Jimmy. I said Matt Taven is my champion, and he liked that.
You steal most of my lines.
Yeah, shut it. But anyways, he is he's a real hard worker. He's a local guy, and he has definitely earned this opportunity. So all the best to Matt out in Vegas, and come back and put another championship in the Boston category, pal, and New England.
And so this leads to the Madison Square Garden show, which the Ring of Honor main event should be Taven versus Lethal versus Marty Scurll, the villain. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if it will be, but it should be. On the New Japan side of the show, and we won't know this officially until around March 23rd when their New Japan Cup tournament ends, I'm guessing it's going to be Jay White, who is the current IWGP champion, taking on Okada, with Okada winning the title in Madison Square Garden. I think that is the right finish, because Jay White, nice wrestler, not really what I'm looking for. And unfortunately, like, this should have been Kenny Omega versus Okada at Madison Square Garden. But I think if those are the two main events, they're doing pretty well. My plan is right now is I'll be in attendance for it. I'll be at Madison Square Garden that Saturday night. At least that's the plan right now.
Right. That's a Saturday night.
That's a Saturday night show.
Yeah. And, you know, here you are, Jimmy. You know, we're talking about this. I remember you and I discussing this last summer when Ring of Honor sold out. There was a lot of talk about Madison Square Garden right there, and that's a huge step for that promotion. I mean, you're in the mecca of arenas in North America, and legitimately Vince McMahon's backyard, his home base for many years. And here you are on the biggest weekend of the year for the industry at Madison Square Garden. So that's a huge opportunity for all of those superstars and Ring of Honor that weekend there at MSG. So good for them, and I hope Matt Taven does walk in and even walks out of there as a champion.
I'm just skimming through my notes. Yeah, I think that was it. I think that was it from notes.
Okay, cool.
Let's close with Chaotic Wrestling, Cold Fury, Friday, March 15th. Tickets at chaoticwrestling.com. Evolve in Melrose, Friday, March 15th. WWNLive.com. March 24th, Dolph Ziggler at the Kowloon, 6 p.m. the night before Raw is at TD Garden. You got to call the box office at between noontime and 10 p.m. 781-484-6002. You actually will talk to a actual person. And something I want to kind of have you think about, Mike, I have a little bit of a homework assignment for you for next week or the week after. We'll see when we can fit this in.
Go ahead.
I want your top five WrestleMania matches of all time.
I can do that.
And it's not the greatest. It's your five favorite WrestleMania matches of all time.
Okay.
That'll be a homework assignment for you. And if you want to throw in a least favorite match of all time, you can do that too.
I hope you do the same as well.
Yes. Since it's my assignment, I've already done the work and I can put in other details to it. But
good. Now,
as we're on the road to WrestleMania, it was something I thought of today as I was putting together my show notes, and I thought that might be something fun for the listeners to hear, like our perspective on Mania.
Let's rock and roll. Manias. Let's rock and roll. Can't wait. And the other thing too, Jimmy, I think we should, we would not be doing a service to our listeners because consistently getting asked a lot because WrestleMania, you know, we're based here in Boston, you and I, but WrestleMania is in New York and a lot of people from here are headed down to WrestleMania weekend and asking both you and I, some advice, of things to do and so forth. And, you know, Jimmy and I have had the fortune of, being at the last three straight WrestleManias.
New Orleans, Orlando, and Dallas. Yep.
Yep. And, you know, was this five coming up for you? This will be five, six?
If all goes to plan and I make it to New York, it'll be 28 in Miami.
Yep.
Dallas for 32, Orlando 33, New Orleans 34, and New York for 35. So that's five.
Yeah, so this will also be my fifth, too, because 14 Boston, 32, 33, 34, and then, yes, 35. So, yeah. So, I mean, I'm happy to share, you know, our take on what we're going to be doing, what we have done in the past, and we recommend you do if you are going for the first time. Maybe we can throw that out there over the next couple of weeks.
I will give everybody, I will give people one piece of advice.
Let's hear it.
Is... don't burn yourself out. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is there have been years that we've gone down there and we get to the end of the night and we're just burnt.
Yeah.
And we've done too much and we've tried to jam too much stuff in there. Yeah. So my piece of advice is get your tickets for Mania and then work backwards. So... say you really want to go to NXT, make sure you get to NXT.
Right.
If there's a wrestler that you want to meet at WrestleCon, go to WrestleCon and just plan to try to meet that particular wrestler. Mm-hmm. If you want to go to Access and meet a WWE superstar, then plan around meeting that superstar. And I think that's the best way to do WrestleMania weekend. Go on a Friday. Pick what you want to do, and then where you have open spaces, fill those in later if you want to.
And it's also, like you said, you know, New York City is unbelievable. So much entertainment, so many landmarks, and just a great way to see the country to travel to a WrestleMania. So you're right. If you're not going to be doing anything of those things, you can definitely take time out of your schedule to do whatever you want in your free time. But definitely book around what you really want to do and drink a lot of water, too. Drink a lot of water.
Because, hydrate.
No matter what the temperature is.
So as we record this on March 10th, go out, buy a pair of sneakers, start breaking them in, and they should be ready in 28 days when you'll really need them.
Yeah. No blisters.
Because you'll be walking a lot. Hydrate, eat, and... try to, if you can, enjoy the location that you're going to. I think WWE made a mistake in spreading out this year's WrestleMania as much as they did because I did a really deep dive into all the activities. And everything is just, for a city that's so close, you've got everything just kind of scattered all over the place.
I'll be up front with everybody, Jimmy, and... you know, kind of the home base for WWE.
No, lie to me, Mike. I prefer it when you lie to me.
Okay, fine. Well, I'm not going to lie. I'm not doing that. But, you know, the home base, the meat and potatoes of it is at MetLife Stadium on Sunday. But the home base really is in Brooklyn. And whatever way you slice the cake here, Brooklyn is a pain in the ass to get to. I'm not joking. The Barclays Center, it's there. That's where the Hall of Fame is and NXT. Raw and SmackDown if you're staying for that. If you're staying in Manhattan, you better prepare for a 40 to 45-minute cab ride or an Uber ride to Brooklyn. It's a pain in the neck to get there. That's why I'm a little disappointed. We were spoiled last year, New Orleans. Everything was walking distance. It was great. You know, we walked to WrestleMania, Jimmy.
We actually took a short Uber to WrestleMania. We walked home from the WrestleMania party.
Okay, but still, it was all right there.
Yeah, we took an Uber very short distance because it was my fault because I had the knee injury.
Oh, right.
So we had to take an Uber. That. We had to take an Uber over as I was icing my knee. And,
sorry to laugh.
Oh, no, it's funny. And I actually still have...
you got the black and blue?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That
was an all-time classic.
That's going to come back in 10 years, and it's going to be a knee surgery. I know it is. But we took an Uber from our hotel to the Superdome, and then we walked from the Superdome to the WrestleMania hotel where we went to the after party, and then we walked from that hotel back to our hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Did we leave there at like 4 or 5 in the morning, New Orleans time?
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah. But the beauty of that was that we're flying, so you could sleep on the way home if you're driving.
And that was, this is something else, because I made this mistake.
Yep.
If you think that you're going to some sort of after party, don't book your return flight home at 6 a.m.
Yeah, good point.
Book it for the afternoon and get some sleep before you check out of your hotel.
Oh, absolutely. You're going to be dead. So that's the best case scenario. We'll throw a few more tips out if anyone has any other questions.
But that's pretty much the simple plan that I've learned is WrestleMania, obviously, you're going to.
Yeah.
And then pick around that. So if you really want to go to the Hall of Fame, go to the Hall of Fame. If you wanted to go to NXT, go to NXT. Yeah. If there's a superstar you want to meet, go meet that superstar. If there's somebody at WrestleCon you want to meet, go meet that wrestler. Mm-hmm. Just because I think that that's the best way to go about it. If you want to go see Bruce and Conrad, go see Bruce and Conrad. If you want to see JR and King, go see JR and King. Right. If you want to see Dolph Ziggler do comedy, go see Dolph Ziggler do comedy.
WrestleCon, all
like,
your guys.
There's, you can look it up and you can search it out. And if there's something that if you want to go see Evolve, if you want to go see Chaotic Wrestling, if you want to go do a tailgate, like just that's how you plan your WrestleMania. Or at least that's how I found that's successful.
And if you've never been, I'm not joking either, because this is a fact. I forget, I think it was a Forbes list or something for the events around the country that take over the city 1 through 10. WrestleMania is 3 for how they take over city. The Final Four is number 2.
Super Bowl 1,
obviously number 1. Yeah, but there is a very high possibility WrestleMania could move into that number 1 spot over the next 5 years. Get ready.
Yeah, and WrestleMania next year is in Tampa,
which again, you know they're going to take over Tampa.
So I can give you the early suggestions for Tampa is find a way to get to Hulk Hogan's Beach Shop if you're a Hulk Hogan fan, because in Orlando, Hulk Hogan had a pop-up shop, and he was there for 10 hours a day, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, and he took home some good money.
Yeah.
And he signed for everybody.
Oh, yeah.
So,
That was, he was a little rocky with WWE, though, too. Don't forget.
Yep.
So there you go, Jimmy. Gonna be good.
Yes.
Countdown's on.
Countdown is on. Yeah. We will. So if all goes to plan, we'll have an extra show this week. I'm not telling you who, but look out. We have something that hopefully will work out, and we'll be bringing you an extra show this week. But if it doesn't happen, then you know, we'll tell you why it didn't happen and who it was supposed to be and all that stuff. But
and hopefully it's pretty funny, too.
Yes, and hopefully it'll make you laugh.
There you go.
Each week you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page at 985thesportshub.com and on the 985 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. For Mike Riley at Starge985, the show's Twitter account is at WrestleCast985. You can follow me on Twitter at IamJamesStewart. And for now, enjoy the rest of your sports entertainment week.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.